Welcome once again. It's time for another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. Has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. This morning, as always, we're privileged to have with us another host from somewhere up on the Canadian border. It's Jim Obermeyer. Hey, Jim. Uh-oh, he must have his mic on mute or something there.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Nice to see you today in sunny California.
We just had...
Hello to Alex, the host for your previous show. Hello, Alex. Wave at us, please.
Alex wants to wave at. He can't hear it there. There he goes.
Oh, there he is. Great show, Alex.
Alex similarly lives up near the Canadian border most of the time, sometimes calls in from what he calls the Northern Command here. So,
well, good. He and I should compare notes on how to work more closely with our producer, announcer, and all things on the Funnel Radio channel. Paul, thank you for the program introduction. Today, as everyone knows, Paul Roberts is our announcer for all things in the Funnel Radio channel. We've got a couple of things going on here. First of all, in the month of July and going forward, we're going to have several new hosts on SLMA Radio. You've already heard Laura Patterson for Ready, Set, Grow. The second week of July, we're going to have Daryl Prale from VanillaSoft for Inside Sales. Mark Godley will be in the last week of the month with Lead Genius, and Rode Morgan Demand Lab will be starting in July as one of our hosts. So it's going to be, we're shifting patterns a little bit. I'll still be your host here and there occasionally, but we're getting some experts in from their own disciplines. Now, today, we have our program today, How to Measure Content ROI. Now, we've had Pamela Muldoon on the program in the past. She was on in May 11th, Connecting Content Creation to the Bottom Line. Let's see. To hear some marketers complain, the ever-ravenous, bottomless pit, content-consuming prospects drains marketing's budget with nary a proof of purchase. But is the professed ignorance employed by marketers that simply don't know how to prove the content they create is worth the expense? In our interview today, Pamela Muldoon, revenue marketing coach with the Petowitz Group, and former radio host herself, will learn that content does have a measurable ROI. Really, it does. It does. This, as I mentioned, is part two of the program from May. Also, time permitting, we're going to talk about some programs. Another item that Pamela really has taken as a task: how to get the right content in front of the right person at the right time. So we hope to get to that also today. Pamela, welcome.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you. Very kind welcome there. Nice to be here again. Feel like I'm with an old friend.
Well, last time we talked a little bit about how to measure ROI and connecting the content creation to the bottom line, but we got into so many little rabbit holes in talking about content, we didn't get fully to talk about how to really measure content ROI. And then today, if we have time, I really want to get into this other part, which is how to get the right content in front of the right person at the right time. So, you know, the stage is yours, Pamela. Tell us how to measure content ROI. Is it possible for the average marketer?
Well, it's a very big question, isn't it, Jim? And it is this ever expanse of... I guess every year it seems that the marketing department's initiative to create content, we tend to hear the word more, but the question I usually have is it more or is it the right stuff? And if we get a chance, obviously today we can go down the path of the right content at the right time. But I guess the short answer to can you measure content ROI is yes, but, right? So we live in a world where we have a lot of different technologies at our fingertips. And so I think it's not just a matter of can we measure the ROI of content, but really even taking it a step higher and asking ourselves, what is it that we want to actually measure? We here at the Petowitz Group are involved a lot with developing inbound and outbound multi-channel campaigns for our clients. And in that process, it really is about driving the right KPIs, right? Getting the right questions to answer. Now, you might have some limitations with your technology in terms of the KPIs you're choosing, but at least you have a starting point. So, for example, Jim, one of the things you hear, you've probably heard this, I know I hear it quite a bit, is your content needs to be more engaging, right? That word engaging tends to kind of fall out of people's mouths quite a bit. And so my response to that is, what do you mean by engaging? And so I tend to drive this conversation with clients and with individuals in terms of asking better questions. And so really when I talk about ROI, it could be just something as, I don't want to say simple, but just something as basic as driving your KPIs to the number of downloads, number of conversions, that type of thing, and getting your process of content actually starting that funnel or that conversation of driving your customer into your customer journey. And so that's one piece of it. And then there's the time on page or the time on view or the time on listen in your case, right? Which again, we all, one of the challenges we have is we only have the data which we can get from the platforms we're using. And so sometimes in some of the mediums, such as audio, for example, we have limitations. And so we have to figure out what it is we want to actually drive from a KPI perspective and then kind of go backwards from there to make sure that we have the right technology, the right resources in place to be able to pull that data successfully.
So you really come up with two or three ways to measure this, which I suspected you would. Petowitz Group is known as a revenue marketing consultancy, and you're an action-oriented agency. You've got lots of clients, lots and lots of clients out there. But you're talking about measuring the right KPIs, and you got down to content that needs to be engaging, and you're measuring that based on the downloads, based on the conversations, correct? So now, will the average marketing automation system be able to measure all of these things that you're talking about, or does the Petowitz Group create something different and unique?
Now, the majority of your platforms, the marketing automation platforms out there can do this. When we find, some of the challenges we have is that there are some mediums where it's not quite as black and white. So having a podcasting background, that's one that kind of flies into my face pretty quickly. There's just a limitation in terms of what we've been able to access. We can't really access yet how long a person has truly listened unless we're holding on to the audio on the platform that we own. But the challenge around that is that we need to be able to share that information, right? We need to share the content. So we have to use third party, i.e. iTunes, Stitcher, et cetera, right? So there are limitations to what we can actually access based on some of these platforms. Now, when I talk about downloads, conversions, et cetera, most marketing automations can definitely do that. I think when it comes to engaging as well, is one of the things I like to do is ask my clients, when we talk about engaging, is one, this is where it comes to your persona. What is it that your audience really gravitates to in terms of type or format of content? Now, that may not be something they can answer right away. We have to make some assumptions based on doing a strong persona list of Q&A, whether that's working with our sales department, our marketing department, direct customers in the interview process. But I always encourage my clients, if they have the resources to do it, to create similar content in different mediums and then do a test and measure process, if that makes sense, okay? So that you can send out the same information, but perhaps you're doing it one time on video and another time on text. So that you can start to get a sense of what your clients or your audience actually wants to engage in. So then that too is part of that ROI conversation in kind of an indirect way, right? Because if we can give them more of what they're willing or want to ingest, they're more than likely going to do that. And then, of course, move themselves through the funnel or the journey as we provide content to them.
Now, you mentioned in your last program, by the way, can you pull your voice back just a little bit from your phone or microphone, and it'll be just a little bit clearer. But in our last program on May 11th, you spent a lot of time on the personas and making sure that those personas are identified so you can customize the content. And when it comes to podcasts and what have you, I often think of podcasts. We've done articles. There are 16 different ways to use podcast content to customize it for personas out there. So while, yes, we look at the total number of listens, which is a big number. We also look at all the different ways that podcasts can be used. How do you get someone to, how do we get marketing managers who say, well, I'm too busy to do all that. I'm just too busy. I don't have the staff. Nobody reads the reports anyway. I'll just create the content and hope for the best. How do you answer that? Do you just say, well, how's it working for you?
Yes, that's actually a really good question. Yes, how is that working? How is your current state? Are you happy with the current numbers that you're achieving, right? I think we're at a point in here, pretty much the middle of 2018, right, where it's now no longer a luxury to be in the content marketing space. It really is a necessity. At the end of the day, this is how our audiences, I don't care what your persona is, and you can tell me you're from an industry that doesn't use content. At the end of the day, we all do, and we all are putting ourselves more in that situation where we want to seek out information before we talk to a human being. I don't care if you're buying a car, you're buying a piece of B2B software, or you're buying a big piece of equipment from a manufacturer, right? We are researchers at heart, and so we need to be providing information. So part of my answer to that is, if you're not doing it, I guarantee you somebody in your competition is. So you want them to get most of their or all of their information from your competition, or would you like to be in the game, put the table stakes on the table, and really relook at how your resources are allocated so that you're providing information in front of the audience that's already seeking it. They are looking for it. You're just not there, so you don't have any proof, in essence, because you're not doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. We're going to have to take a break and hear from our sponsors here in just a moment. When we come back, let's talk about those table stakes. Let's talk about the research. Let's talk a little bit about how these marketing managers have to take on this research persona themselves, because that's what their job really is, not just to create, but to create revenue. It isn't just to create views, it's to create revenue. And talk a little bit about that table stakes. Paul, over to you to hear from our sponsors.
Well, what we want to tell you is that the Pedowitz Group is a revenue marketing consulting firm headquartered near Atlanta, Georgia. They believe that marketing is the driver of customer engagement that fuels the revenue engine. As your partner, the Pedowitz Group helps you plan, build, and optimize your revenue engine by delivering services in MarTech, demand generation, and marketing operations. Hey, if you need some help in any or all of those fields, why not do what many are doing? Go Google them, or even send them an email at thepedowitzgroup.com. That's P-E-D-O-W-I-T-Z, pedowitzgroup.com. All right, back to Jim and his guest.
Thank you, Paul. We've been speaking with Pamela Muldoon. She's a revenue marketing coach with the Pedowitz Group, and she's been tackling the subject, how to measure content ROI, and then we've been getting into connecting content creation and how to get the right content in front of the right person at the right time. It's kind of an extension of our May 11th program. I asked her when we come back here to talk about table stakes, which she mentioned, and talk about how marketers have to be researchers. And I also want to find out, Pamela, what's your opinion about the wussy attitude about some people who act like they don't have time to do it?
Which one do you want me to tackle first, Jim?
Yeah, let's go with the wussy stuff first.
The wussy stuff. Well, we all know that time is worth money, right? We, you know, and I, on some level, do understand where some of that thought comes from, right? Like, when you're in your own status quo, or the way we've done things is the way we've done things, it's hard, first of all, to shift and change. That's one piece of it. And then the other piece is getting everybody on board. You know, one of the things, I've done work with the Content Marketing Institute, and one of the things that Joe Polizzi, the founder of CMI, shared right out the gate, this was even probably 8 or 9 years ago, was try some kind of a pilot program in your organization if you're having challenges or trouble with this buy-in, right, of I don't have time or it doesn't work. And find something within your business objectives. Perhaps it's the increasing of more leads into the customer journey. Perhaps it's more conversion. Something that you can wrap a very specific KPI and initiative around and build out just a starter or pilot content marketing plan. It doesn't have to be all to everything immediately. This is a big ask, right? It's a big ask to have your organization shift to what was known as a kind of a direct marketing culture to something more of a content culture. And yet every single department that we have in our organization is creating content, both externally and internally. And there is a gold mine sitting in front of you, the opportunity to provide answers and solutions to the questions and problems that your target audience has. So that's always one of my first recommendations, is let's look at one or two KPIs or something very specific that you want to help sales and the organization move forward, and build a content strategy or a content plan around a pilot program first.
Now, should every piece of content be justified by some sort of a KPI, some sort of a metric?
I do believe that every piece of content can. Even a blog post, right, can be considered something that can be metriced or put data around. We actually, you know, when you're, let's say you're putting out so many, let's say three blog posts a week, and you're putting out good content, first of all, you want it to be the right content, which is, again, going back to the research and the work you have to do as a marketing team on your buying personas and the journey that your actual customer takes to get to the conversion process. But even those can be the inroad, right? It can be the inroad, the awareness level content, the engaging thought leadership type content that can drive somebody in to have a deeper, more impactful conversation along the way. So even looking at which of these post topics are most relevant, which ones are getting seen by Google the most or being tracked through the SEO process, all of that becomes data, and very important data for you to make future content decisions, whether it's how you're going to continue to put topics out on your blog, or are you going to expand on a topic because you see that your audience continually increases views or reading of a certain blog topic, for example. I believe every piece of content has an opportunity to have a KPI or a piece of data attached to it. Again, it all comes to being just really understanding your limitations around that you can't be everything to every piece of data, but knowing that this is the KPI I want to track. And when I track that, it's going to be able to provide me with some really important intel to move forward.
Now, do you get, I'm going down a rabbit hole here slightly, as we sometimes do. These personas, do you, at the Pedowitz Group, go to our client salespeople to find out their opinion of the personas that are involved in the sales process? Because those are often the personas that count.
Absolutely. We actually do as many of a combination set of interviews as we can. What I mean by that is obviously we'll talk to our marketing counterparts who have been already marketing to this persona, but we will definitely do an interview of sales folks that are literally part of, you know, they're actually getting them to sign on the dotted line, asking them very pointed and open-ended questions in terms of how they get there, the pain points, why you're actually sitting in, what drove them to get you into their office to actually have the discussion. What does it take to do the demo? When they do the demo, what are some of the questions they ask? So we need to involve our sales team, whether it's inside sales or outside sales, if we can, a combination. We also will sometimes talk to our product development people if we have an opportunity to do that, because as they're developing products, internally, they're doing some of the same or similar research that we in marketing need to know so that we're able to tee up the product smarter and with the right solution or thought leadership that can drive them then through the journey into the conversion process.
Well, I certainly believe in getting the salespeople involved. Most of the time, building personas in the past as a consultant or VP of sales consultant, I would go into major presentations and there'd be eight people buying a $100,000 software product in the room, and I'd instruct the salesperson, go down, find out what their titles are, and ask each one, what do you want to get out of today's meeting? What's the most important thing that you want addressed? We put that up on a whiteboard, and then we go through the presentation, we answer every single question, and we leave. And then those personas over time, those name personas over time, we build a list of things that particular CIO, inside sales, marketing automation, marketing people, you know, product development, whatever, those people want answered. and it seems to work quite well, but it always starts with the salespeople, because frankly, the marketing people in many of these companies don't know. They've got to barely have an opinion unless you travel with salespeople very often.
Absolutely. And marketing has a different perception of the audience, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you want to talk to the person who literally is looking at that client face-to-face or that prospect face-to-face and has built the relationship and more than likely has been inside their organization to see how all of their moving parts are similar or different from some of the other clients they have, right? So absolutely. To us, it's not even a choice. Like, we have to speak to at least a collection of the sales staff, whether that's one, two, three different people, whatever we can get. And every time we do, their information becomes absolutely integral to creating a more three-dimensional, 360-degree type of persona. Absolutely.
Another question that I think is worth sacrificing some of the things I asked about earlier is because the Pedowitz Group has such a large client base, and I'll ask you in a moment to give us a quick rundown of what the Pedowitz Group is and how people can contact you, but do you find, answer to this question, do you find that clients for the Pedowitz Group, the revenue marketing company, clients are coming in because the marketing manager wants a new agency? The sales manager wants a new agency, or the executive team wants a new agency because they want marketing connected to revenue. What is the most common scenario that you see?
You know, without consulting with our sales team to see if there's any fluctuations around this, I can at least explain from the clients I've had the privilege of working with over the past 2.5 years. And I think it's a little bit of a combination between the marketing and the executive, to be honest with you. The conversation like we're having today tends to land on the ears of a marketing person before a salesperson in terms of when you think about what we're doing, this is awareness level type of content, right? In essence, we're content marketing right now.
Okay.
And so I'm speaking to, we tend to have these conversations initially with other marketers. So of course for us, two of our main three personas are the chief marketing officer, the CMO, or the director of marketing because of the high influence that they have
yep.
to the CMO, right? So we know that that is where we can get our biggest inroad to begin the conversation. I think, too, that's where we start to see a little bit more of the influence from the executive level to the sales team. It's still not quite as common, I think, as we would like to hear and know that sales is tapping on the door of a marketing agency, right? They're just still not quite overall, as a general rule, thinking marketing is where we have to have our discussions to continue to do sales smart.
So makes sense.
We're still, and even just recently, we worked with a client that did and still struggling with having sales in the room. Sometimes that becomes a big part of our, what we have to convince the organization to do is to ensure that they're taking their salespeople off the road for a day for us to come in and do the work we need to do. That could be a real challenge for us.
I just like to pop him in the head. Hey, Paul's motioning we've got 30 seconds here. Can you tell us about the Pedowitz Group and how someone can reach you?
Absolutely. So the Pedowitz Group, we are a revenue marketing consulting agency, right? So we work with a lot of enterprise organizations actually around the globe. Most of our clients are here in the U.S., but around the globe, working to help them with their from marketing automation and technology stack to make sure they're getting the right technology in the door and what they want to accomplish for their marketing and sales needs, as well as we do the strategy work. And to your point, or what we talked about a little bit, the right content in front of the right people at the right time. And we also do a lot of campaign development work, whether that's a multi-channel, inbound, outbound experience, but really using the content that we're developing from a strategy standpoint to ensure that it's getting distributed and tracked throughout that process, and we have lead management and lead scoring that we build along the way. So we do.
I love the term content from a strategy standpoint. Pamela Muldoon, the revenue marketing coach, love to talk to you. How can someone reach you?
You can definitely reach me. LinkedIn is a great way to find me. I answer all my messages there. So just, LinkedIn.com/ Pamela Muldoon. Go ahead and find me. Or on Twitter, I'm at Pamela Muldoon. Either way, if you want to DM me, connect with me, email me, I'm happy to respond and would love to meet anyone who's willing to chat. So thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. Pamela didn't know that we were going to run that commercial today for the Bedowitz Group. And, but in full disclosure, Bedowitz Group has been a supporter of the SLMA for probably 8 or 9 years. And so say hello to Jeff and Debbie and Kevin and Scott and everybody, if you would, for me. Paul, over to CRM Radio.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead manager and sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. One of the many shows on the ever-growing Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.